Yeah. All right. I guess we can roll like this.
Cool.
We're going to roll it. You know, Travis, in the perfect improv world, we just start, right?
That's right. We just start. Let's just start it.
Let's just start it, even though we've like a roll of about 15 minutes.
Right.
All right. So let me set the stage for you guys. 10 years ago, to the day, I was doing improv with my friend Travis Greer, and we were doing a show on Star Trek, USS Improvise. It was the Star Trek show, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes, it was. It was the USS Improvise. Yeah,
we were doing that in Ventura Improv, in Ventura, uh-huh. California, and afterwards. The reason I pitched it to those guys, like, oh, it's the new Star Trek movie's coming out. Wouldn't this be great?
Yeah, that's right.
And so afterwards, it was you, me, and who was it, John?
It was John Medeiros.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who else was there.
No, I think it was just the three of us.
I think we went to three of us, yeah. And it was just, we went to the Century 10 downtown Ventura, about a couple blocks up from the Improv Theater.
Yeah. So we went there. So... And this is the 10 year anniversary of the 2009 Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek. And so I thought, you know what? I haven't talked to Travis for a while, for a couple of years, at least since you were in the Cake Diver improv show.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. I was. Yes.
And that was like two or three years ago, at least.
Yes. Yeah.
So
it was that nice, was that cherry pie you bought from Vaughn's?
Oh, that's right. We did pie. Too.
Cherry cake. It was cherry cake.
It was a cherry cake. So I did
cherry cake. Yeah.
So I did a bit where I would dive into pies or into cakes. And if you want to go to Cake Diver, I think it's on YouTube channel Cake Diver. You can see me put my face into cakes. But
that's right.
But 10 years ago, Star Trek had another milestone in history. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
It's been 10 years either. When you got in touch with me, I was like, God, has it been 10 years already?
Yeah.
It's insane. That is insane.
First of all, I haven't talked to you for a while since I put my face in the cake. I talked to you about that. So,
right.
So Travis, you are an improviser, you're an actor, you are a writer, you're a director.
Mm-hmm. Producer. All kinds of stuff. Yeah, man, it's going pretty good.
You have it's a movie coming out, like, literally in 2 weeks. Just tell us briefly about it.
Yeah, I have a movie coming out. It's called A Rock and Roll Heart. Mm-hmm. And it is a romantic comedy that takes place, we filmed all here in Ventura County, and we're premiering it in 2 weeks, and it's a romantic comedy about two people looking for a connection in a connectionless society.
Wow.
That's
a pitch, man. That is, you've worked on that, Travis.
I have, trust me. It's a little elevator pitch, you know, with people who are, you know, as every good romantic comedy, it's, you know, two people who really are missing something from their lives, and mm-hmm. everybody around them is just, you know, completely engrossed in their phones, taking pictures of their food, putting it on Instagram, watching the Kardashians, you know, all this other stuff, and nobody's really paying attention to each other. And then when these two people meet, they actually have a connection, and it ensues, and there's a lot of twists and turns and surprises and all kinds of stuff. And it's fantastic. I'm going to say it's fantastic, you know, but it's been quite an experience. It's my first directorial and writer debut, and actually starring in a movie, you know, having, you know, lead billing. So it's I'm beyond excited.
That is fabulous. I'm so proud of you, Travis. It's so exciting.
Thank you, brother.
You're like William Shatner in Star Trek V.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you want that?
I'll take it.
All right. Hey, man. I mean, you decide whether or not I'm bestowing you with something great or
horrible.
Or you know, we watched it recently. I watched Star Trek V for my 50th birthday. Mm-hmm. It's not the worst. It's not the best, but it's not the worst.
It's not. You know, I just remember one of my favorites is when they go back in time, not the Voyage Home, but it's the Voyage Home. Is that the one where they go back to San Francisco? Yes.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that with my brother and my friend Greg Carrillo in the Arlington Theater in Santa Barbara.
Oh.
And I just remember one of the things I remember about that film is they dedicated the film before the movie started to the Challenger.
Yes.
That to NASA, and the whole audience just applauded and cheered and everything like that, and it was great. And I really enjoyed that movie. A lot of people give me crap for that.
Really? Who gives you crap about that?
I don't know. I was like, really? You like that one? You don't like The Wrath of Khan? Well, everybody loves The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, it's
really damn good, Dad.
Well, I would consider The Voyage Home probably to be the second best of all the films. I mean, it
really?
Is...
Really?
Wait, don't you think so? The Voyage Home?
I think so, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. We'll double,
I love the line, well, double damn asshole to you, too.
Yes, yes. It's so good. It's such... You know, it is not only is it a... It's a time travel movie, but it's also a villainless movie in some ways. I mean, like we've talked about it, like in some of the podcasts in the past, but this is the one of the films. Actually, this is, I guess, Star Trek One, the first one, which doesn't really have a proper villain. It's just them racing against time, literally. You know, they literally have to do it.
What is it? V'ger.
V'ger. Yeah.
Yeah. V'ger.
You know, giant cloud had just dusted off
of the way.
Voyager 6.
Right.
It would have been like, oh, shit, that's right.
I'm
a probe. Hey, guys, we don't need to go to Earth. I totally got with that. Oh, man. Do you watch Game of Thrones? I'm sure you watch Game of Thrones.
I do.
It's sort of like the Hodor thing. I mean, not to spoil it for anyone, but...
Yeah.
It becomes like a weird, like, semantic thing, or like a weird, like... Oh, it's just misspelled, or it's like, oh, we spelled it backwards, and this is what it is.
Right,
you know.
Right.
Like, this giant revelation of Hodor or V'ger is based on, like, a, you know, whoops, we missed that.
It's like Red Rum or, you know, or Rosebud, or I don't know, I'm getting maybe a little bit too ahead of myself. But, yeah, I understand completely what you're saying.
We spoiled so many movies just now. We just spoiled
Sorry.
But as you can tell, Travis is a good Star Trek man here.
I
went over to. So I've done the Star Trek improv show since about 2000, I think. 2002 or 2003 on San Diego. And I brought it up to you guys. And you guys did
I got to play Bones.
That's right.
I got to play Bones, yeah. That was so much fun.
We had talked about you playing Kirk, but there was some pushback from the Gamesters of Triskelion, the leaders of the improv.
Yes.
Because I was all for it. I want you always to know that. Like, I was like, yes, Travis should play it. They're like, no, we want Mike to play it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I remember they saying, hey, dude, if you want to give it a shot, go for it. I think it's this is your bag, man. This is your deal, you know. So I, you know, and you did it so well.
You do a really good job too. And I was interested.
Oh, thank you.
As kind of like the creator of it, the V'ger of that. I was interested to see how you would take on that. But they were pretty adamant about that. But we had a lot of fun. It was a fun, silly show. I can't remember how it turned out. I think it turned out pretty good. We had a pretty good showing up.
It was great.
And so afterwards we're done, and you're like, "Hey man, let's go see the Star Trek movie," and I was like, "Yeah, let's go see it."
Yeah, that's right. We got done around with the show around 10, and we went to, I think maybe the 10:30 showing. We were just like, "Later."
Yeah.
See ya. Great show. Bye.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Star Trek.
People are either on board with Star Trek or they're not. So, I mean, I didn't want to drag along a bunch of people who were like, well, that was interesting. Who was the guy with the ears? Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That was the guy.
Was that Winona Ryder?
Well, I'm just like concerned that Winona Ryder's in Star Trek in the first place. Like, oh my God, is she canon? I don't want her to be canon.
Exactly. You know, so it was just,
So talk me through this. Like, what, I mean, you've been a Star Trek fan. Let's back it up. I called you a Star Trek man, but tell me about your Star Trek experiences and your love and what your favorite shows are and not.
Right. I grew up in Santa Barbara, and my brother was a huge influence on my life. He's no longer with us. He passed away back in 2000. But growing up, we used to go to the movies all the time. And he was like, all right, we got to go to the movies. We got to go do this. And he was a huge science fiction fan. And he introduced me to Star Trek. You know, they'd always play on Channel 5, you know, KTLA. And they would just do the reruns all the time. And I really got into the show. And I really, really enjoyed it, you know. And
he used to take me to the movies, you know, The Wrath of Khan, you know, The Search for Spock. We went to see that at the Granada Theater when the Granada still played movies. Now it's a Playhouse and such. Yeah. But yeah, it was that's where it all really started for me. You know, like the little brother kind of going, oh, yeah, this is cool. Yeah. Oh, cool. You know, like, yeah. All right. Cool. Oh, you like this too? Oh, neat. All right. Cool. He was a really big influence on my life with movies and music and such. And I don't know if we could say the Star Wars. Well, I guess we could say Star Wars, but, you know. But yeah, I feel like just don't say Star Wars on Star Trek. You know?
No. We're open to it.
We are open to it. Okay, good.
Yeah, we don't like it, but we're open to it. So,
Yeah. Yeah, but he was like huge fans of like Labyrinth and Blade Runner and Star Trek and Star Wars and certain things like that. And so, but the Star Trek thing really happened for me when I started watching them on just Channel 5, you know, and it was just really, really, really cool. And I just kind of totally got hooked. And I remember going to Andromeda Bookstore in Santa Barbara and Delaware Plaza and just, you know, reading the comics and, you know, the art and checking out the books and the movie posters and things like that. And it just really took off from there. It just really, really took off from there. And I've just loved it ever since.
That's great.
It absolutely ever since.
So you watched the original series. Do you watch The Next Generation? Do you watch?
I watched a little bit of The Next Generation. I didn't get too much into like Deep Space Nine or anything like that.
There's no problem with that. I mean, like,
yeah, it was like Deep Space Nine. What?
No,
Voyager, things like that, you know. Yeah. So, but I'm a huge fan of the originals the television series and the movies, you know, with William Shatner, of course, Leonard Nimoy. Is it Nimoy or Nimoy?
I think Nimoy's fine.
I think Nimoy's fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I actually, one of the first things I did was directed by his son, Adam Nimoy.
What?
Yeah, a show called The Invisible Man. It was like the second episode of the series, and he directed it. He directed a really good episode.
Oh, wow.
But he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of a jerk to my wife. So,
That's not cool.
But I think
Your dad's Spock, whatever. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
But to be honest, I don't think I ever got a reading of his name from him. So I had an opportunity, but you know, when he's a jerk to your wife, it doesn't matter that much. So
yeah, dude, yeah, I can't be a jerk to your wife. What the hell's going on? But no, you should what?
I should get in touch with him. Because like I was telling Travis, like off the pod here, is that a lot of this podcast is me kind of retracing my steps of my life,
right?
You know, through Star Trek, and he was kind of a jerk to my. I was so excited because like, oh my God, M. Nimoy, you know, Spock's son of Spock. You know, is directing me in a TV show.
Right.
And then, like, my wife was a casting director for the show. She's like, man, he was not cool to me. And I was like, oh. So I had to go rough on that, you know. And I was only on set for, like, one or two days, maybe just one day. And so, like, I never got that full experience of him.
Mm-hmm. Did he look anything like him?
I think he did. He does.
A little bit like his dad?
Yeah.
Minus the bowl haircut, yeah.
You know, I mean, he has the jet black hair. Maybe he'd roll into the bowl. You know, I mean, who knows? So, maybe he's got a documentary out called "For the Love of Spock" or something like that. I think it's called. Oh, wow. I started watching it, and I think and he narrates it, and he's, you know, he does look a lot like him. He does look and sound like him, and you know, you know, so.
Very cool, but
that's a total aside. I like the fact that you're just like a TOS guy. You know, there's a lot of the younger generations. They're like, oh man, I like this. I like this. Like now, the new flavor is Deep Space Nine and Voyager because, you know, as certain generations get to a certain age, they start reflecting nostalgically on shows and like, oh man, that was my show. You know, everyone kind of comes on the show. So you came on TOS. I came on TOS.
Right. Absolutely. Then, what was your opinion on Scott Bakula? The Enterprise.
You know, I've been watching Enterprise a lot. I didn't watch it when it first came out. I watched it.
Neither did I. Yeah. Neither did I. And I was always wondering your take on that.
You know, as I watch it now in the later years with my son, who's a big Star Trek fan now.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's the best thing in my life. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
For his 15th birthday, like we were like at home, like the wife and my younger son were at a gym meet. And so I'm celebrating his birthday. And I was like, buddy, whatever you want to watch. And he's like, I want to watch Star Trek Voyager. I'm like, yes.
You're like, I have trained you well.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so great. So great. He's amazing, but he's also got me watching Star Trek Enterprise. And you know what? Here's the thing: the first couple seasons are pretty bad, but the last two seasons are really good. And
really,
you know what? Here's what I tell you to watch. Watch. There's okay. a two-parter. Like if you have Netflix or
I whatever. Do Netflix, Hulu, all that stuff. Yeah,
we all have that. Watch something called. I believe it's fourth season. It's called Through a Mirror Darkly.
Darkly.
And it's, if you haven't guessed, it ties into the Mirror universe of the original series.
Nice.
And there's nice nods within that episode to the original series. And it's
very cool.
Yeah, there's like four or five different things that are directly from the original series that you'd be like, oh, I get that. So it's a two-parter, but it's a nice way to kind of get yourself into it and say like, oh, okay. And then you can work kind of like to the sides. But yeah, that would be my if you know, Travis, if you really want to get into Star Trek Enterprise, and I think that's where we're going with this, yeah. I would watch Through Mirror Darkly. But you can just work on your movie. So no, you don't have to watch any of this. I don't know why I'm pitching you this so hard. I don't know.
No,
what
it's
I'm,
cool, man. I'm like after this, man, I'm gonna watch it.
you should. I mean, because that one, and I'll tell you what else you should watch if you're into it. If you have, well, I don't know if you have CBS All Access. I don't know if anyone has CBS All Access, but
I don't. It didn't really turn me off, but I'm just like, wait, I got to pay for CBS, the channel that I already have on my television. Wait, what?
Here's what I tell you to do: get sign up for a week, and binge the second season of Discovery.
Okay.
In fact, I can tell there's like four episodes because they bring back Pike. Captain Pike.
Nice.
And the guy who plays it is really good. And you're like, oh, really? I want to see this. I want to see this show and not Discovery because he's so good.
Yeah. So, is he in a box? I'm sorry.
I don't want to ruin it, but there are callbacks. So because this show takes place 10 years before the original series. Discovery takes place. Okay. Like 10 years before Kirk and Spock. So Pike is still walking around. He's still okay. Everything's good.
Right.
But he's got a fate coming up to him. He will be in the box.
Gotcha. He'll be rolling around in a box.
This is definitely a tragedy in the making. When you see me like, oh, God. Oh Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Yo.
So it's a little bit of a rough ride, but he's so
Sorry,
good.
Pal.
There's That's been an right. online petition to have him. To have it's not another series, but they're like, hey, we like everyone on Twitter's like, we want this series of Captain Pike, and so who knows, maybe you know.
I don't know why they didn't do that in the first place.
I don't know. They were trying a lot of like even the Next Generation tried to run away from their roots. You know, every kid is right. impetuous and like, screw you, Dad. You know, it's like no.
Right.
The original series knows what's going on, man. And then eventually they come back. It's like, you were right.
Yeah, totally.
And then all of a sudden,
totally.
Scotty's on the episode, and you're like, oh, okay, we got it.
Man, I love this. This is great. It's so nice to talk to you again, brother.
I know, man. I know. It's been a while.
It's been so long.
You know, I haven't done improv since that last time, and really, I haven't done it for a while. I kind of.
What made you stop?
That's a good question. I mean, I think. Well, first of all, I was working at Universal Studios, the entertainment capital of LA, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I was working as a paleontologist at Jurassic Park. And
oh, yeah. I remember you telling me something about that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's like basically 3 hours a day of improv with people who don't really care to improv with you. You know, like just people passing by and, you know, like, oh, hello there. I'm with the Jurassic Park and, you know, where's the bathroom? Yeah. Oh, it's right over there past the Velociraptor. Oh, Jesus Christ. Mid-40s man trying to salvage his career, you know, pointing out German tourists where to go to the bathroom. So,
oh my God, yeah. So you were doing that for about 3 hours.
Three hours. Like when you do that, and I did that for like 6 or 7 years, and I don't know, like improv is. I mean, you keep on doing it, and I have great respect for you. But at some point in time, I just kind of got a little burnt out on it. You know, you just start when you do it for a living. Right. You know, you're just kind of like I don't know where the end of this is.
Right.
Do you ever feel that? Or not? I know we're talking about now. Yeah.
I know it's fine. I sit back and, you know, I go to teach classes or have shows and stuff, and I just go, you know, this is still fun.
Yeah.
This is still fun. And as long as it keeps being fun, as long as it keeps being new and adding on different themed shows and certain things like that, you know, and just teaching is where it's really at for me, because the people that come in to the drop-in beginners workshop, when mm-hmm. they come in, it's just great to see them actually get it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the juice for me. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, all you really should need to do in this life is surprise yourself, you know, and it takes a lot to walk through the doors of the theater and sit down and say, okay, I'm going to act without a script, and I'm going to agree, and I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to not let my my castmates fall, you know, and the listening aspects of it, and just watching people grow, the students grow, and even with their improv performances or their acting abilities, to just life in general. I've seen people become from just being, you know, total introverts to now doing off-Broadway shows,
yeah.
you know, or, wow. or starting their own podcasts or starting their own TV shows or YouTube channels and things. I'm like, God, that's great. That's great. And that, for me, it's still fun. It's still fun. And there's like my improv family, you know, it's, you know, I think the world of my students and castmates and friends that I've had for, you know, for years now. And, so to me, it's still fun, but yes, I can understand where you're coming from. Like, yeah, is this fun anymore? Is this, what do I want to do? It's I'm really burnt out. How many times can I, you know, get this, you know,
right, yeah.
you know, can I have a get where two people might meet? Starbucks. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you know, it's like, but it's just, for me, it's the agreement. It's the it's just the wonderment of creating something that didn't exist, you know, before two people met on stage, and make people laugh and make people feel and make people, you know, go through a journey with you. And it's just great. I still love it.
So well said, Travis. Everything you just said there was just pure gold. Nothing to do with Star Trek, but I didn't really care because I was like, "That's so everything you said was so great."
No, I'm
serious, man. And for everyone here who's going like, "Wait, why is this? Why are we doing this podcast?" Is, you know, in addition to doing, you know, talking about this Star Trek movie, which we haven't actually gotten to yet,
right?
But whenever I did improvisation, I started out in San Diego. Actually, I started out in Ypsilanti, Michigan, but I started out in San Diego out here. And then I went to
LA. Wait. What part of Michigan?
Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Where's that at?
Oh, it's by Ann Arbor.
Damn, I got relatives that used to live in Dearborn Heights, Livonia.
And... Oh, all right.
Okay, it's Michiganders. Okay, all continue. Right, so, I'm sorry.
Getting further and further away from anything that's
weird. Yeah, sorry.
But let me just say this to the people listening, is that
yes,
out of everyone I've worked with, and I worked with a lot of people in improv, a lot of really good people, are all famous people now, the people, you and people who are in Ventura, were some of the nicest people to work with. And I think you guys get improv is, which is that it's not an adversarial sport. It's not like I'm going to say something funnier before you do. It's just like, let's find each other on stage and work together to make a great scene. So,
right. Absolutely.
To me, you guys were always like my salve whenever I was like feeling run down. It's like, hey, I got to go out there. I got to go out there and just do fun improv, not go to commercial audition where it's like, oh, I got to fight you and you and you. I just had a commercial call back. I'm like, dude, man, don't walk all over me. So anyway.
Right.
All right. So my enduring antennas just went off. We've gone too deep down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
So we go into the theater and we start watching Star Trek 2009.
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts about the movie. Anything you can remember about it?
I'm thinking. Well, when I first started, when it came on, and then we saw Kirk's dad.
Right.
And Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. And it was like, okay, all right. So we're kind of going, a little bit farther here, we're getting to the origin story of, you know, Kirk and certain things like that. And I'm like, okay, all right, cool. And I'm watching it, and then Winona Ryder shows up, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, and then then Vulcan goes away, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's so many things, and I might be overstepping my bounds here, but I just remember sitting next to you and hearing you go, and just that one of the things I remember is, or just hearing you go, oh my God. But you know, no. I know what is happening. I from improv, I know, you know, who you are from improv, but when we sat down to watch it, you were just so engrossed and so just focused on this movie. I'm like, wow, okay, he's in it. He's really in it. He's paying attention to everything.
You didn't know what you're getting into. It's like, yeah, let's go see the movie. You're like, sure, sounds good. Holy shit, what's going on with this guy?
I was like, damn, I know, dude, Mike, Jesus, you all right, dude? Mike, do you want some red vines to wake up? What the hell is going on?
Oh, I was awake. My eyes were dilated. Yeah, I was taking in every piece of information, going, what are they doing?
Right. You know, so what I remember is just going, oh, okay. You know, all right. So about three quarters of the way through the film, I kept thinking to myself, okay, well, he has taken, J.J. Abrams has taken everything from the original series and made it, twisted it around and made it his own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was going, oh my God, what's he doing? What's happening here? Okay. And I was a little bit, I wouldn't say disappointed, but I'm just like, okay, well, great. Now we have a Star Trek that is kind of going in this direction. Now, I don't know if that is correct or not in your view or what, but it was just, I mean, it was an enjoyable film. I mean, you know, and I walked out of it, and I just remember looking at you going, you know, just walking down the street, we were going to my car, and you're just like, I don't know if you still feel that way, bro, or not, but that's pretty much what I remember about it. You know, I mean, it was they had some, you know, throwbacks, you know, they had the green lady. And, of course, you know, and certain things like that. And I loved, God, I can never remember his name, the guy who played Bones.
Carl Urban,
yeah.
So good.
I thought he was great. I thought he was fantastic.
Oh, so good.
I thought he was fantastic. And, you know, and of course, Simon Pegg, you know, mm-hmm. and things like that. And, it's fantastic. And, I wanted an audition for that to play Kirk. So bad.
You did?
Oh my God. So bad. And I kept bothering my agent, my manager, saying, hey, you know, what's going on? And they're just like, and they kept telling me, they're like, Trav, they're going to give it to a star.
Yeah.
what are you doing? I'm like, well, wait, what about, like, well, we could submit you, but, you know, it's kind of going to go to Mr. Pine. So it's like, oh, okay. So wishful thinking, but that's what I remember about, you know, the preamp. I mean, I even watched all the episodes, the first, you know, the all three seasons. You know, just to kind of like get in the character and things like that, and just be like, oh, okay, cool. Because everyone's always telling me, it's like, you look like a young William Shatner, you sound like him. And I'm like, well, that's great and all that stuff. But it's just, anyway, but it was just, I guess, an old pipe dream. Yeah, I'm not bitter. Bitter at all.
Oh, my God. See, I wish you would have told me that part about, like, you really pushing that. Because then I would have been, like, insistent about, no, Travis has to play Kirk at least. Because we did, like, two shows. And I did one. I was like, I'm fine. I'm mollified. And then I was like, let's have Travis do it. They're like, no, we don't want, you know, we want you to do it. But I was like, no, you should be Kirk. Now, we'll skip a little ahead because, Travis, you have a theater company, an improv theater company. Where is it now?
I do. It's called the House of Magic. Mm-hmm. In Santa Paula, we are at, I'll give a little plug for the website, thomagic.org.
Okay.
And you can find us, you can find our group on Instagram and Facebook at Venprov, VENPROV, Ventura and improv combined.
Okay.
So it's Venprov, so you can check it out there. So we do have a theater, And we do have shows on the first Friday of the month and the third Saturday of the month. We have dropping classes on Monday nights at 7. And we also have an advanced class and certain things on Tuesday nights that people are invited to. And that's where the core Venprov group works out. But we are looking to bring the USS Improvise.
That's what I wanted to hear. All that other stuff, that was too much. You plugged it too much, Travis. Yeah, all right. I mean, give me the website. I was like, yeah. Just get to the good thing.
Get to the good stuff, will you? Come on. Yeah, but I'm wanting to bring USS Improvise, and now's the perfect time to ask. Would you be interested in maybe reviving this thing?
Yes, but you have to play Kirk at least once. That's my caveat. Will you do that? Will you agree to that?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I will totally agree to that. Absolutely.
That would be so much fun because when you play Kirk, you will at least for me, because when I created the show and I'm Kirk and I'm the only person who knows enough about Star Trek to know what the hell's going on and the structure. Right. So everyone else is looking, you're like the quarterback and I'm sure you saw sometimes people are like, what are we doing now? It's like, we're going to do this. You're like, really? Yeah. Cause that's what happens in Star Trek.
Yeah.
But I would like to sit back and watch you do it. So.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
This is the deal. Yeah.
It'd be a huge, huge honor to do that. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We will make it a grand affair. You tell me when, and we will assemble, whatever we need to make this happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Oh, this is great. This is great. This is why I'm
very excited.
We're going to make both our dreams come true.
Yes. I'll finally get to play Kirk.
Yes. Yes. This makes me super happy. This is great. So I'll go back to my opinions of the movie because
yes, please.
You were the person who got to witness in real time my reactions as I slowly felt like my relevance going down as I was like, oh no, this is. Like, you're right that I was tracking every single thing they were doing. I'm going, okay, so they're changing that.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't exist. Okay, what's going on here?
Right.
And I tell you, and I think we might have talked about this at the end. Like, I didn't hate the movie. And I don't know if you hate the movie either. Mm. It's enjoyable for the first part. I think we agreed. Like, yeah, it's pretty enjoyable. The second part's kind of like this weird Midwestern villain. You know, hi, Christopher, I'm Nero. I'm going to go kill you. Like, Urbana was so weird.
Yeah.
But I remember leaving the theater and thinking, because this is an alternate universe, I wonder if my Star Trek is gone forever. You know, it was like a sadness. Because, like, for me, it's like if this becomes popular, this becomes the thing. And in some ways it has, and because Star Trek Discovery and all these shows are in that Kelvin universe in some ways.
Right.
Because they're still done by Bad Robot. So that's a whole different universe. But in some ways, what you were hearing and feeling from me was my slow, angst of saying, oh no, this is going away. You know, the original series is essentially being bulldozed over, right? I mean, in some ways...
Right.
Everything, and the joke is that, oddly enough, the only series that exists is Star Trek Enterprise, because it comes before, you know, all the stuff that happens.
Right. Yes.
So you better go watch those shows now, Travis, because they're all gone now. Everything else is gone.
God. Yeah, I remember dropping off at the theater, and you were just like, J.J. Abrams has taken everything and just made it his own and just turned everything around. And it was just like somebody just punched it in the face, you know.
He bummed me out.
It really bummed you out, man. I remember that. I was like, oh, dude.
I know.
Oh, no.
And I felt like we're friends, but I didn't know, I was like, how deep do I make you my grief counselor on this? How close are we? Because I was like, it was a good punch. You're right. I was like, shit, oh my God, I can't believe it. So,
yeah, it's like you and I were walking out of the theater and John was there and we were all walking out. And I'm just like watching you and it was like, burr, 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 burr. You're like, oh man, come on.
I know.
What the hell? But you know, I mean, the movie was a lot of fun. It was a popcorn movie and introducing it to, a new group of, young folks going to the theater. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. This is neat. All right. Nice. You know, but for the true fans like yourself, you know, it, I'm sure you weren't the only one, you know, to feel that way. And it was just like probably people all over the world were going, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, come on. You know, what is happening?
In some way, but at the same time, yes, I mean, I did feel like that. But at the same time, like, they did have this convoluted way of saying, okay, this is a different reality. The other one right. still exists. So right. you still have that, and we've got this. So it's like, I couldn't, like, that was the thing. I couldn't fault them for not trying hard enough to say, don't worry about, you know, the canon universe. That's all still there. We're just going to have our little, you know, place, you know, to kind of have our little show.
Right.
But it was still, everything was so different. And then, like, Spock Prime shows up. I'm like, dude, man, you are so in the wrong movie. And
yeah, I know. I'm like, wow, he's, wow, okay. This is, all right. This is, we're in a cave, and he's here, and and it's snowing outside, and okay, well.
Big monsters running around.
Big monsters running around, and Big Daddy Spock comes around and says, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, hey, ooh, hey, what are you doing here?
Now here's what's really going on.
Like, oh, I know. Jesus. Let me tell you what's really happening. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh.
Fairly big drop to throw in the middle of the movie. It's like.
Yeah. It's like, whoops, ow, my face. You know, so, yeah. Yeah. Oof.
And the interesting thing about this whole franchise from this point, and they're calling it the Kelvin timeline. I don't know if you know that. Because it's the ship that Liam Neeson helmed, you know, George Kirk, is called the Kelvin. So they call it the Kelvin timeline. Mm-hmm. Is that, as you referenced in Star Trek IV, you know, the Voyage Home, whenever there's a time disturbance, they generally go back and try and fix it.
Yeah, let's fix something. Right. Yeah. Right. So absolutely.
In this timeline.
Let's go get some whales.
Yeah, they go get whales. Yeah, and that's fine. They're going to get some whales. We're taking two whales. No one's going to miss them. You know, in the City on the Edge of Forever, they go back and they you know, they fix, you know, they kill, let Edith Keeler die, you know.
Sure.
But in this one, they don't. They never venture that as something, like, because both Romulus and Vulcan have been destroyed as a result of all this.
Right.
And they don't do anything about it, which is kind of a little weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, no, I think, like, even, like, Spock Prime is like, you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here. And why? This is a fake timeline. Go back and fix it. Why are you, you know.
Fix it, damn it.
I never could understand why he chose, like, well, I'm going to stay here and lead the 10,000 Vulcans who are still alive. It's like, go back and fix it. You screwed it up. What are you doing? And while you're at it, go back and get Kirk from that bridge thing that he fell off of.
Right.
Right? From Generations?
Right. Right. Generations, yeah. Sir Patrick Stewart, yeah. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Yes.
It
yes.
was fun. No, it wasn't. Yeah. It was not fun at all. Nothing fun about that.
Oh, my. I've got a bridge on my chest. Anyway, Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So yeah, so I think I've told you about how maybe I told you about Star Trek the second one, how I kind of, after the second one, I kind of had a little tirade in Vegas. I've told the story before. I'll tell you afterwards. Did I tell you about this where I ran?
No, you did not. No.
I'll tell you about it afterwards.
I had
a big rant during the Vegas convention after Star Trek Into Darkness, and
oh my God, I remember something about that, but
I told you about this. Yeah, this is
yes, you did. Into Darkness. Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
You remember with Khan, with Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan?
Yeah.
Now, did you see Star Trek Beyond?
I have not.
Oh, you know what? I would say go watch that.
Okay.
It is all not. Right. It's to me.
I have it. I'm actually looking at it right now on Blu-ray, and it's sitting right here under my Blu-ray player, and I have to watch it.
Go put it in right now. It's.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
Do it. Yeah.
It is on par with the first one. It is delightful in parts, and it tries its best to get away from being. It tries just to be a fun story with lesser stakes, and it doesn't try to fan service-y stuff. Mm-hmm. The second movie was so much fan service without any context, you know.
Right.
Like, oh, this is Khan, and now Kirk dies, and the needs of the many, and blah, blah, blah. No, we don't need
that. Yeah. You know, yeah.
This is a fairly original story, and up until the very end, I think it hits pretty nicely. It's just, it's directed by the guy who does Fast and Furious movies.
Okay.
Justin Lin.
So, okay. You know, okay.
Fun. Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. It's action packed. It's kind of, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's pretty decent. It's pretty decent. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I would say like
on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being awesome. What? Give it like a 7, 6?
Like a 6 or 7. Yeah. I'll have to go back and watch it again. But I mean, my opinion of it, I watched it with Kiernan, actually, my son, and he liked it. It is enjoyable. And then the second half falls apart, just sort of like in the first movie, the 2009 movie. Because the first half of that film is actually kind of fun, right? I mean, if we break it down, when George Kirk dies, that is a gut-wrenching scene, right?
Absolutely.
That is a beautiful scene. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so wonderful. Except for the nurse with the giant eyes. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, we need to
dial it back.
Damn.
But then we have this sort of, like, then Kirk's kind of a rebel. I'm like, okay, whatever. But the minute that McCoy shows up.
Right.
It is on. That part, from that part on, he is fun, and he makes Chris Pine fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Carl Urban is 100%.
He's great.
He's a great actor, man. He's hands down. He's just really, really good. Somebody's really good at what he does.
And he loved Star Trek. He campaigned to be McCoy. He was like, mm-hmm. you know, get me that audition. They're like, you're not going to get this. And he got it. And he's always been the one, like, leading the charge, him and Simon Pegg.
Right.
Like, let's bring it back. Let's make it better. Carl Urban is a New Zealand national treasure, or Australian. I can't remember which, but he's one of those treasures.
Nice. And, Simon Pegg wrote Beyond, correct?
Yes, in parts. Yes.
Yes, in parts. Okay. Okay.
From what I understand, he tried to walk away at least 3 different times, and then he came.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So,
what do you think about this new Quentin Tarantino thing?
I'm all for it. I think what do we have to lose? I mean, I watched the first two seasons of Discovery. They are very marginal. What do they have to lose? You've got an award-winning director.
A director and writer. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, and it's just like, come on, let's do this. I'm all for it. That'd be great.
People are like laughing and, hand waving at him, like, no.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, who's Sam Jackson gonna play?
Yeah, he's gonna be something. Like, gonna be Uhura? Is he gonna flip that? I mean, he could be Spock.
He's gonna bring back the Jules wig from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be a little Uhura. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Hey, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, who could he? I mean, he could play. Here's what I'd say. If they're doing original series, I would love him to play Trelane. Remember Trelane from the Squire of Gothos? The guy was like, oh, Captain.
Yes.
Like that guy who could, like, snap his fingers and make all sorts of crazy shit happen. Can you imagine Sam Jackson in like a 18th century Victorian jacket, you know?
That would be so good.
Making these people do whatever he wants.
So good.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh my god. Yeah. But I'm all for it. You know, it's as long as the Trek keeps going, you know, and as long as it keeps moving forward and just because it's a culture. It's a phenomenon. It's Star Trek is so cool, beyond words. And it's just, you know, and it's, some people just don't get it, man.
No, they don't.
I'll tell you.
But we get it.
Yeah, yeah. And all of your listeners get it.
Yes.
Right?
They do. Except for my friend Jason. My friend Jason doesn't get it, but he doesn't. He's actually on the podcast lots of times. He's a big Star Wars guy. So, but we got to have that. We got to have that outside voice, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
See if he makes it this far in the podcast.
All
right. Well, let's put a cap on this. This is great, man. I'm so glad to talk to you. And
to talk to you too, man. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your podcast, man. Thank you so much for asking me.
Of course, buddy. And it's called A Rock and Roll Heart, right?
A Rock and Roll Heart. And you can go to arockandrollheartfilm.com to check out the trailer. And buy tickets and all kinds of stuff to our premiere that we're having here in Ventura, or if we're going to be taking out to film festivals, and hopefully it comes to a city near you.
that's outstanding. And if I go see it, and I go see it, and I sit with you, and I make all sorts of weird sounds, I don't need you to, I don't need you to freak out. Okay.
Okay, I won't.
I'm gonna say, oh, I liked Travis Prime. Oh, you know, yeah. this is weird. Oh God. All right, man. Travis, thank you so much.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, man.
This is great. My name is Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek.